There is a content warning for this episode. You can find it in the description.
Right, guys, going to start the show this week with a review.
Ooh.
It says, I binged this podcast, and it is from Alice Blondie. And it says, this podcast is amazing. The perfect balance of science, nerdiness, and banter. Thanks. That's the banter from me and James.
Science and nerdiness.
All the banter.
Yeah, all the science and nerdiness comes from Corey.
No banter.
None.
Makes me realize that my A-level science was not a complete waste of time. I do remember some stuff. Really recommend Chernobyl episodes. If you haven't heard the Chernobyl episode, head on back in time and listen to that.
Chernobyl.
Shall I start the show?
Do you want to start the show?
I'm going to start the show in a different way this week, and there is a reason. So, James, run the music. Welcome to this week's episode of The Sci Guys, where the three of us, James O'Neill, Corey, and I, Luke Cutforth, bring together the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. And this week, we have a very special guest, Josh Winslay! Woo!
That was so hard not to talk.
If you don't know, James and I used to do a show with Josh called Educating Josh, and he's staying with me this week, and we just thought, let's just get him in for
a guest episode.
And now I will throw back to Corey to host the podcast that he hosts. That was our intro from our old podcast, by the way, if you didn't know.
Way to explain the joke.
Yeah.
Today we'll be talking about furry phobias and straight up child abuse.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a very fun
episode.
Wait. What's the opposite of straight up child abuse?
Tepid.
Tepid child abuse.
I am not comfortable with this episode in the slightest.
Lukewarm child abuse.
I don't want my name next to
child. Sorry, this is just my fault, isn't it?
Child abuse is all of your fault, yeah.
I've already made the podcast
worse,
guys. You
just call it warm child abuse.
Yeah. It's all right, he'll give you a blanket.
Before we start recording, I was like, wow, we've got an average rating on iTunes of 5 stars.
And
I can feel that declining.
It's
with
dropped
loads
to 4.9 and
problematic
it's rapidly dropping.
Reviews.
It dropped to 3 when you announced me.
So, the Little Albert Experiment was a groundbreaking study in the early 20th century.
Wait,
you did the same thing last week.
I hope you leave that in.
But the Little Albert Experiment, the title, is that this isn't to do with the abuse story, is it?
Oh, this, yeah.
Oh,
this
I know this.
It's called, okay, carry on.
No.
I know this. This is the guy.
It looked at whether classical conditioning was possible in humans. While it provided some of the foundations of future studies on human fear conditioning, it was also completely terrorizing a small child.
What is classical conditioning?
Swings and roundabouts, really. Classical conditioning, I'm going to tell you about what it is. It's literally the next heading.
All right. It predicts the future again.
I can confirm it says, classical conditioning?
You're not. Josh, you can't look at the notes. We don't normally have somebody on Curry's side of the table. So.
Okay, all right.
Naughty Josh.
Spoils it.
I can only see the bit in bold, which was the title.
Classical conditioning, do you know what Pavlovian conditioning is?
No.
Do you know Pavlov? No. Do you know his dogs?
Pavlov's dogs. I've heard of that. I don't know what it is. Oh, wait, no. Pavlov's dog is when you feed, like when the dog salivates or something. So like you give the dog food and it salivates, and then just the sight of the food makes it salivate or something like that.
It's what Sheldon did to Penny on The Big Bang Theory.
I remember now. You make like a sound and then give food. And then when you do the sound, then the dog salivates just at the sound because it expects food.
Yes, basically.
Hooray! I got there in the end.
There it is.
So effectively you take a potent stimulus like food.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And you pair it with a neutral stimulus like a bell or any kind of noise or some other kind of visual thing.
Not too scary.
No. And the best known person that did that was obviously Pavlov, who did it with dogs. And like you said, he used dog food to get them to really salivate and like the sound of the bell. And then just the sound of the bell itself made them salivate because they associated it with the food.
Okay.
They wanted to see if you could do that with a kid.
Right.
A human child.
When was this?
1920s.
God, that's way later than
earlier.
It's weird to me that they think that a dog and a child work differently. Like,
the dogs and children do work differently.
But they're just animals.
they work very differently.
They're actually the same thing.
Why would people mad at me for taking my child out on a walk with this lead?
Like, they don't work at all.
Why is my child barking?
I don't know if you guys are the same, but my parents used to take me on a walk with a lead. I'm not joking. They used to put me on a little lead and take me for walks. Did they not do that to you?
Your parents did not do that to me, no.
Is this the lukewarm child abuse?
Oh.
Oh my God. That's crazy. No, but 1920, they thought it was okay to take a child and do that to them. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, in 1920, they thought racism was okay. So, yeah. Like, you know.
I don't know if they ever thought it was okay. They must have had something in the back of their head going, yeah, we're going to hell.
Oh, we know
this. Yeah, we know this is wrong, but we like it.
We can get away with it for now.
I think there's a difference between enjoying something and knowing it's okay.
Moving on. Yeah, so Pavlov was just studying digestive fluids. He was taking them outside the body to measure them. And he noticed that they would start salivating at the person that fed them rather than the food itself.
As soon as they saw that person.
Yeah, because they associated the person with food. Yeah. And so then he decided to put a metronome on and see if they associated food with the metronome. And they did, which is nice.
Spoilers.
Yeah, so he concluded that if you put a particular stimulus in a dog's surroundings and give it food at the same time, it's going to associate those two and have the same reaction to the food as it does with the
stimulus. But it has to be visual stimulus. Or sonic, basically. Has to be a sound or
a sonic stimulus.
A sonic trigger.
No, it could be...
That's McDonald's.
I mean, it could be...
No, literally, that's what that is in advertising. It's a sonic trigger. As soon as you hit
McDonald's,
your brain goes, I'm loving it.
And you can smell like McDonald's from far away.
Yeah.
You associate it with the...
And the visual stimulus is the golden arches. Like, that was a massive part of their campaign.
Yeah. So it could be any kind of
stimulus. We have been conditioned by McDonald's.
Yeah, we have. That's what advertising is conditioning.
And it translates no matter where you are in the world. Like, golden arches and the...
Apart from in Spanish. You can't say it. You know, you get McDonald's translates into all the different languages.
Really?
I'm loving it, but you can't say it in Spanish. Not a perfect translation.
How would you say it in Spanish?
Estoy amorándolo or something, but it doesn't work. Like the wording.
Estoy amorándolo.
Why are so many scientific discoveries by accident?
Like science is hard and mistakes are easy.
Yeah, true. Mm. But my first day at science.
My first day at science.
GCSE science. My science teacher was one of the guys that accidentally found Viagra.
Oh.
So they didn't accidentally find Viagra. They accidentally found the purpose for it.
Yes. Yeah. So they were testing drugs on rats to see if they could control the heart rate and cure some heart degenerative diseases and
and
stuff like that.
Loads of horny rats.
It worked a little bit, but not as much. But all the rats were running around with very stimulated, shall we say? And they went, "Whoa!
Very
we're all millionaires
canine.
Now.
We can sell that to men." Yeah.
Amazing.
It was a mistake. Well.
Of course it was a mistake.
Viagra was a mistake. So I'm just going to go through some terms I might be using later on in this episode. I might not use them. I don't know. I've not decided yet.
God, this is like school. What did you accidentally discover?
I wouldn't be learning anything if it wasn't for this podcast.
You say that.
Where do you work again?
I forgot.
Later on in the year, can we do maybe like a YouTube video where James has to sit an exam? For all the things that he's
glorious taught.
Please don't.
No.
We all forget everything.
Oh, yeah. You both have to.
Yeah, we do like masterminds.
No, the thing is, you remember the important things, and I remember the things that you don't need to remember.
We'll make sure there's both types
of
questions.
All the useless details.
I don't retain any of the information, so that's going to be a lot of work. We've got unconditioned stimulus, which is something that has an innate response without being like taught or, you know, experienced before. So dog food or really nice smell.
So if I smelt something that I enjoyed, I would get
naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So something that you've already got a really strong response to without having to be taught that it's a...
Yeah. Okay.
Then you've got neutral stimulus, which is self-explanatory. It's the sound of the bell or the metronome. Something that doesn't have a response that you then teach to have a response.
Yes. Oh, okay. It's something you can assign a response to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You've got the conditioned stimulus, which is just the neutral stimulus once you've conditioned the animal to... respond to it.
Once you've abused it.
And do you have a negative stimulus?
No.
So you can't like punch someone in the face and then feed them, but then every time you punch them in the face, they get hungry.
No, because that'd be a positive stimulus. It's still creating a reaction. Mm. You'd have to do something that wouldn't have a reaction for it to be a negative stimulus and then it's a paradox.
It's like negative reinforcement.
Exactly. So negative stimulus comes into like negative reinforcement, but this is different entirely. So positive and negative doesn't come into this.
Okay.
These are just neutral or conditioned. Yeah. You've got unconditioned response, which is the respond to the unconditioned stimulus, and conditioned response, which is a response to the conditioned stimulus.
Is there any unconditional love? Because I could do with a bit of that.
That'd be nice. Josh, that's
love
sad.
You've got my unconditional love, right now. Love, Joshy.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Let's all love Josh for the rest of the show. Every few minutes, we'll just say something nice about Josh.
And then slap me and condition me.
Every time someone says something nice, you're going to be like, sure.
There's more than enough abuse in this episode, honestly. you think I'm joking. It's really bad.
Okay,
really
great.
Bad.
I'm glad I joined for this one, guys.
I know where this is going.
So the Little Albert experiment was carried out by John B. Watson and a grad student named Rosalie Rayner. And it was at Johns Hopkins University. That's a really difficult thing to say.
It's because there's two S's.
Too many S's.
Johns Hopkins. Is it called Johns Hopkins?
It's plural.
Johns Hopkins.
Multiple Johns.
Yeah.
Johns Hopkins. Yeah.
Like multiple it's the founder John. Of Hogwarts, but multiple they're all Johns called John.
Multiple Hopkins.
John Gryffindor, John Slytherin, John Hufflepuff, and John Ravenclaw.
Were they actually all called John?
No.
Because it was Rowena Ravenclaw and stuff.
hang on, did you think for a moment that I was being serious, that the founders of Hogwarts were all called John?
To be honest, I wasn't listening for the first part. I heard the second part, decided to believe it, and then regretted doing that.
Was there a single John in Harry Potter at all?
No. Maybe. Oh. Was there a John?
I'm really annoyed. I don't know.
There was a John.
So after observing children in the field, and it says in the field.
No, in the field? I'm sorry. Is this a guy with binoculars?
That's a wild child over there.
That sentence literally isn't legal. It's not legal.
It's one of two things. Either they're in a field, like how you're interpreting it, or that's like, you know, observing electricians in the field of being electricians.
Yeah.
So they're it's in like the field of being children.
Being children. It's their profession.
Either is weird.
Like paedophiles. That's what I mean. That's why it's instantly illegal. They're just children going around doing their thing. We're just observed.
It's not illegal to watch a child.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Well,
you seem very well versed.
Otherwise, child finders would all be in prison.
Babysitters. There's a shortage of them.
No. But to be but they're saying monitored, so it means it's documented and filmed or
recorded.
He just
observed them.
Okay.
Yeah. Watson hypothesized that the fearful response of children to loud noises is innate and unconditioned. So you want to check that and see if he could apply it to something else.
Babies cry everything.
They really do. The aim of Watson and Rayner was to condition a phobia in an emotionally stable child.
What?
Yeah.
That's so messed up.
Yeah, it's really messed up. You hear a child, you think like, you know, a kid, not a baby, not a literal less than 1-year-old baby.
Because that's what they did.
Yeah.
No.
So they chose a 9-month-old infant from the hospital. They were working at a hospital, by the way. So they chose a child that was in hospital.
They had access.
Yeah. they called the kid Albert for the experiment, and they followed the same procedures that Pavlov used with dogs.
Well, so what did they feed him?
I mean, they didn't. They didn't do the exact. They followed the same procedure. They didn't use
not,
the same.
Not that, to
that's
a
why,
T.
That's why I asked. So, what did they feed him? As in, like, because obviously
it wasn't
dog
the food. So they did. They used loud noises and a rat. So they wanted to make a kid scared of rats.
Right. Okay.
Using the same. That a kid would already be freaked out by a rat.
No, he wasn't.
I don't think so.
So,
what are they trying to prove, cute. By the way?
That you can condition a child to be scared.
Oh, sorry.
Of something.
Yeah, but for what purpose? Is it so that they?
I don't think you. It's for science.
Welcome
that's literally
to
it. This is just science. Science is stupid.
There's a point in every
episode. It starts from going, let's help something.
One of our first episodes was talking about firing animals into space just cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there comes a point in every episode where someone asks this question, and I say just cause, just and cause. Luke goes on a rant about
how science is
terrible. And to be honest with this, I really agree with him. The ending to this is a real kicker. Like, stick around for it.
So it isn't even to prove that they could get rid of a phobia using conditioning.
Nope. Why don't we see?
To induce one.
So I've got a quote here from John Watson. Is it John Watson?
No shit,
we turned into Sherlock Holmes.
At first, there was considerable hesitation upon our part in making the attempt to set up fear reactions experimentally. A certain responsibility attaches to such a procedure. We decided finally to make the attempt, comforting ourselves by the reflection that such attachments would arise anyway as soon as the child left the sheltered environment of the nursery for the rough and tumble of the home. So basically,
that's
they were
very
like,
presumptuous.
They were like, is this a bad idea?
Yes, it is.
Nah, yeah. He'll end up messed up anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's awful.
It's really awful.
They wouldn't be able to do that these days.
I mean, no. Not legally, no.
Yeah. Good. Sorry.
100 years later.
100 years later.
It was literally 100 years ago.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Wild. I was trying to think if little Albert would be alive today, but he's definitely not. He's long dead.
He definitely isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't begin the work till the kid was 11 months old.
Wow, which is kind nice. Of them.
well, 11 months old?
11 months and 3 days, to be exact.
Oh, 3 days. Fantastic. Oh. Even better.
What are we on about?
Yep. That's too young, though, is it? Is it not? I think it's way easy to get the result you're looking for there.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna. I'm not
I don't
gonna,
understand I'm not them. It's like if you want to prove that conditioning is possible, condition an adult that's
because it's much harder. It's a bigger challenge. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, well, of course you're gonna be able to condition a child.
Well, that's you say that, but they wanted to prove that you could condition people altogether, and right. he thought that the loud noise was an unconditioned response.
Mm-hmm.
As in, he wanted.
So he wanted to test on someone who hadn't really taken in a lot of data about the world.
Yeah,
without using psychedelics.
Without using psychedelics, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, because obviously that was already being tested a lot. Like people were
not
trying
at
to
that
see...
time. Not as much.
I suppose maybe LSD was too early.
Yeah,
way too early. Okay. All right. So yeah, before even all of that. Kind
yeah,
of
this
testing.
Is before. Yeah.
Wow.
Next week's episode where Corey goes, so these guys gave LSD to an 11-month-old baby and made it scared of goats.
Do you have a phobia of goats, Luke? That came from somewhere.
You're right, it did.
That
I don't
came
know where.
From some subconscious brain.
I mean, goats are a little bit scary.
Goats are really cute. I love goats.
I like them, but also I don't trust them, you know?
At any point, they could just, no.
Yeah.
I trust a goat, but yeah. I don't trust a sheep.
No, sheep are weird.
I don't trust either, but I trust a goat more than a sheep.
Yeah.
That was the best thing you've ever said, James.
Spitting straight facts.
So they did tests on Albert to see if he was scared of things before the tests. So they put him up against a lot of things. A rabbit, a rat.
It sounds like he was doing like a wrestling match. Put him up against a rabbit and rabbit knocked him out in 24 seconds.
So they showed him a white rabbit, a rat, a dog, a monkey, some masks with and without hair, cotton wool, burning newspapers and some other stuff. It literally says, I've read the original paper, it says other stimuli. It doesn't actually go into
too much
the rest of
it. I'm assuming he wasn't scared of any of them.
No, he was fine with all
That's
of them.
That's why they can just be like, and other stuff.
Yeah, he was pretty chill. He wasn't scared of anything. He was a very brave baby.
These guys are so messed up. I'm not sure how much I trust their report. I bet he was scared of all of them. They went, yeah, we can just fake it.
They filmed a lot of it.
Oh, did they?
Most of it's filmed. He was actually pretty chill with the monkey. I had a little collar on.
What, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Just like me when
I was a monkey.
So all of this was performed on a mattress on top of a table.
What?
Yeah.
I guess it's comfy.
Why is that relevant information?
It comes up later.
Okay, great news.
Yeah. It's a comfortable environment.
You're right.
We're going to find out like he turned 20, killed 20 people, went on a rampage and like... I can see this going dark.
Corey's got a poker face
just
going.
Just a premonition.
So.
Yeah. I'm having, like...
Thanks, Professor Trelawney.
He will return tonight.
He will kill 20 people.
So 11 months and 3 days old, they presented a rat to Albert and he touched it. And then they banged a big metal pole behind his head. Not on his head. They hit it with another piece of metal to make a really loud noise.
Right.
Ow.
And he jumped violently, fell forward, and buried his face in the mattress. So he just—that's
why the mattress is there.
Yeah,
right. Because if he buried his face in some concrete,
yeah, health and safety for terrorizing a baby.
Yeah, they've got to do it safely.
So
how kind of them.
They did it again, and this.
Okay, I know I shouldn't be reading, but it does literally just say they did it again. It's brilliant.
I had to go through the whole paper and summarize it. Because most of this is them just doing something and then repeating it like 10 times over.
Oh, that's awful.
So they
did
it again.
Poor kid.
And the kid jumped and fell and then started to whimper.
So this kid's terrified. Like, this is awful.
Oh, this isn't even the worst. This is pretty chill. This is very tame for how he is.
No.
So please tell me more.
They then gave him a week off so as not to...
You've earned
not
some time
to disturb
off,
the child too seriously. So they started off quite nice, and then they got worse. So 11 okay. months and 10 days old, they gave him the rat with no noise, and he was quite wary of it. But he didn't reach to touch it like he did.
Wow,
the first
so
time.
That means that the phobia is already in there after just a few times.
Yeah, you can stop at this point.
Yeah,
technically you've proven it. You could have stopped
the experiment.
Yeah,
go home.
He's obviously scared. He's changed his response to it. Tick, box ticked, move on.
Yeah, you could stop.
Experiment
or
complete.
You could do.
Or Or you could just force the rat closer to the kid to see what happens, which they did, and he started to cry.
What I'm actually interested in is, are they trying to prove that he's scared of the rat, or that the rat then becomes associated with the loud bang?
So I just want to check that I know. So I think what they're doing is, so they give the stimuli, rat, and then they associate rat with bad thing, loud noise, which is an innate fear. So that then when they show the rat to the kid's fear response, I assume in the amygdala, is ramped up, associating, expecting a fear. So the fear response already fires up just at the sight of the rat.
I got that. I understood that. But what I'm asking is, so what is the child actually scared of? Say they did that for 10 years repeatedly, or I mean, as a child, you'd probably grow out of the fear. But say, like, is the child actually scared now of the rat? Has it become completely separate to the bang? Or is the child really scared of the bang, but he knows the rat means bang? How do they prove which one it is?
So it's difficult to kind of... That's a difficult question. That's effectively, the kid is now scared of the rat.
Right. So it has...
So what happens is the response transfers from the thing that the response originally was on to the second thing.
Especially,
So it does transfer.
Especially being so young, I guess he can't differentiate. Like, if both of them happen at the same time every time, it's essentially the same thing, right?
This happens
Your question is important and interesting, Josh, in that if you gained the fear of the rat because of the loud bang and then had the fear response just from the rat, if you then expose the kid to the rat without hearing the bang enough times, then it may be conditioned out of the fear.
Spoilers.
Okay, cool. Because if you imagine that basically what it's doing in its head is it's running a piece of logic that goes rat equals loud bang, therefore always fear rat. If you get enough times exposures to rat without the fear being justified, then your brain starts to rewrite to not have the
But that
fear.
Doesn't sound to me like he's actually scared of the rat at all. He's not.
He is scared of the perceived incoming bang, but the bang has happened every time the rat's been there. Therefore, the brain's just always fired up the fear response at the sight of the rat anyway.
It's like how you associate thunder and lightning as being the exact same thing.
Yeah, my fear of flying. It's like I had a really bad experience flying, so now every time I go on a plane, I'm terrified. I know it's not going to happen every time, but I'm still scared of it. But it's like what they're trying to prove is almost impossible because, like, I don't think... Are they actually trying to move the fear onto the rat? Were they hoping that when they tried to train him out of it, he'd stay scared of the rat?
No, not necessarily. They just want to. They want to see if it's possible to transfer the fear.
Right.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, it's a lot less. It's a lot more simple than you. You're imagining it to be more complex. They're not trying to prove anything that complicated. They're just trying to prove...
Well, that would actually be interesting. Not interesting enough to justify what they're doing.
Exactly.
But like,
it's such a mundane thing that it's like, it doesn't... It's such a mundane proof that you can just train something to be scared of something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, association. If you pinch me every time I see an apple, I'm going to be wary of apples.
Yeah.
But if I don't get pinched enough, I'm going to stop bewaring of apple about apples.
Exactly.
But this was the first kind of... This is one of the first studies on this. So they were proving this...
100 years ago, remember?
Yeah, 100 years ago. So they were still proving this.
So they are proving conditioning is possible.
Yeah,
just
so you
like
need,
they're
you
proving
to do
something that follows... That feels like common sense out anyway.
Yeah, but that's
we live 100 years later.
It feels like common sense. It feels common sense that, like, say, the sun revolves around the earth until you know that the sun doesn't revolve around the earth.
Yeah.
Because the sun is moving in the sky.
Totally.
And you're like, well, this thing is staying still. But what I'm saying is you can't just rely on common sense.
Well, common sense is perception.
Common sense is based on what you perceive. So you still need to study these things.
Common sense is correct.
Yeah, that's what a lot of science is.
Psychology was still an emerging thing then, wasn't it? Because it wasn't fully established. It was like still a...
Yeah, no, it wasn't. At this point, psychology was very basic.
And very physical, by the sounds of it.
Just really cruel. I'll continue with this. So... when he was 11 months and 10 days old, as I said, they showed him the rat again. He was scared of it. But in between, they were giving him blocks, just like blocks to play with, which he was never scared of the entire way through. Hmm. Little wooden blocks. And so they used those to calm him down and also to test that he wasn't just scared of everything now. So they gave him those and he was fine. And then they did the joint stimulation thing where they banged the noise,
right,
and gave him the rat 5 more times that day to the point where he would just start crying immediately when he saw the rat.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So on the second time they gave him the rat on its own, he, and this is a quote, Almost instantly, he turned sharply to the left, fell over on the left side, raised himself on all fours, and began to crawl away so rapidly that he was caught with difficulty before reaching the edge of the table. The kid nearly killed himself.
He was out of
by
there.
By accident.
I get that, but I love how he tried to big himself up a bit. did you catch that? He was caught rapidly.
the kid didn't write this.
No. The doctor, yeah.
Yeah, the doctor, yeah. Yeah.
It's a direct quote.
He was caught with ultimate skill.
He was caught with difficulty, I think the quote was.
It's an 11-month-old baby. They are not very quick.
He was caught with difficulty. Yes, well done for catching the baby you're abusing.
So yeah, they'd proven their point. So obviously they stopped and didn't do any more.
Thank God.
Except they didn't.
That's the end of the show.
They didn't stop.
Except they didn't. They continued it on. They wanted to figure out if they could transfer the fear response from the rat to something else.
Do you know what? It'd been more interesting to see if they could have done it with his mum.
Sorry, what? That sounds really weird, Josh.
As in, like, every time...
Can we do it with his mum?
Yeah.
Would she be up for it?
Well, isn't that, like, the ultimate test for nature versus nurture? Every time the baby saw his mum... I mean, you can take it whatever way you want, James.
That's what I said to your mum.
Wait, you said to Josh's mum, you can take it whatever way you want, James.
I don't know her name.
He said to my mum, James can take it whatever way he wants, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh,
okay.
Wait, whose mum?
Mine.
Your mum. Oh.
Yes. So, for example, a rat, because that's the first thing that I thought was a rat's kind of scary anyway. I didn't like rats when I was a kid, so I'd have been a bit, a bit of a... the wrong person to test, but like take someone's mum who there is meant to be that inbuilt like unconditional love for. Every time he sees his mum, you bang the pipe, scare the hell out of him.
Yeah,
would it work?
Yeah,
do you think it would?
Because people are scared of their parents if their parents are abusive to them.
Exactly, it's the same thing as child abuse.
Yeah, but they don't.
And also, rats aren't scary inherently. Like, it's the same thing as spiders. Like spiders is the learned fear. It's not an inherent fear. We always thought it was an inherent fear, and then we tested
really?
It. It was not. It's not. It's a learned fear.
The majority
from the adults, yeah.
The majority of fears
is
are
your
learned.
Parents freaking out when they see them, so you freak
or
out.
Or cartoons, that's or true. TV, yeah, or whatever. Yeah,
you get taught to be scared of things.
Because rats are really cute.
Do you know
come upstairs? See, Curry's rats. Yeah, that's they're
actually
really cute.
No. I've got friends that have rats. I'm absolutely fine with rats now, but I didn't like them when they were little. When I was little, sorry.
Rats are always little.
But that's really funny because my aunt, she's a psychologist, and she didn't want her daughter to be scared of spiders, right? She's terrified. My aunt's terrified of spiders. So they always, whenever they saw a spider, they'd act really calm around it and stuff like that. And so they conditioned her to not be scared of
even
spiders.
If they were freaking out.
This backfired when my aunt was sat watching TV and my cousin goes over, opens her hands out and just puts a giant spider in my aunt's lap, who then freaks, like jumps up screaming, like, oh my God, and just goes mental.
Oh
to the
God.
Point then where Sophie, my cousin, was completely conditioned to be terrified of spiders.
Yeah.
That's like, it only takes one.
Yeah, that was it. So Sophie is now absolutely terrified of them. But before she was so comfortable with them, she'd just play with them.
Wow.
Whoa. Huh?
Good job, psychologist aunt.
Well, I mean, when she was able to control herself, absolutely fine. When it was just presented, her irrational fear came out and she can't really control that.
Yeah,
that's absolutely brilliant.
And just responded.
So, as I said, they continued with the experiment. They want to see if they could transfer it from the rat to something else. So 5 days later, they gave him the blocks again and he was playing with them. He was chill. He was good. And then they gave him the rat and he responded as you'd expect. He was crying. So they gave him the blocks again, then gave him the rat, swapped those out a few more times, and proved that after 5 days, he still had the conditioned response. Mm-hmm. And then they gave him a rabbit, and he cried and crawled away from the rabbit.
Wow.
So he's now just afraid of everything that's vaguely shaped like a rat.
Well, remember, the rat was white, so the rabbit's also white.
Yeah.
Looks kind of...
scared of white people now.
For a baby, no, a rat and a rabbit look vaguely similar, you know what I mean? Really.
Yeah. So like, I mean, it's a shape.
Why
thing.
Were the blocks?
Looks like a bigger rat.
So was the noise never produced around the blocks?
Not once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's
I was really
that's
confused.
Super interesting to me because it means that our fear response, to a certain extent, has constraints of time. Mm-hmm. So like, because he's still experiencing rat bad mm-hmm. noise blocks, and then after blocks rat bad noise, but he's never associating blocks with rat and bad noise.
Mm-hmm. Because they've got to happen at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually. So there's more into this. I'm not going to go into it today, but there's like kind of more in-depth studies that were done after this.
So how are they trying to transfer the fear from the rat to something else? Are they like giving him the rat and then giving him a, like a snake, and then he associates rat and snake, and then he associates snake with sound?
So they're giving him the rat, then the rabbit. So they want to see if they can transfer the fear from rat to rabbit because they kind of look similar.
But they didn't even need to. It was already there.
Yeah, like, he just, basically. Yeah. Because,
yeah, he just freaked out.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've transferred the fear of loud noise to rat, which is widened out to the fear of anything that's kind of vaguely rat-shaped.
And this is
and
over
white.
10 days so far. Started at 11 months and then...
12 days.
12 days, wow.
12 days. Less than a fortnight, you've given a baby a fear of, like...
A fear of rats.
All rodents. Jeez. Yeah.
Rats and rabbits.
So they then showed him a dog, a seal fur coat, and he cried and crawled away. So it wasn't just
white. Sounds like he's like scared of like furries.
Just yeah,
like
exactly. White furry fur. Stuff.
Was the fur white?
No, the dog wasn't white either.
So just furry.
Okay, so generally furry stuff. Now fur's freaking out.
So they also showed him cotton wool, which he didn't really enjoy, but he wasn't exactly happy with either.
It's kind of furry.
Yeah, it's a little bit furry.
Mm. I don't like cotton wool. It feels weird.
Some people think that. I quite like it.
Nah, it's awful. You're wrong.
Oh, I don't like it.
Although I did used to get given a bottle of cotton wool and then a man would smack a loud cymbal behind my head. So.
Shut up, Albert. I'm Albert.
They showed him a Santa mask with a beard, which he didn't like either.
Of course he didn't.
No, they didn't. They were really
gave
going
him
all
a
out.
Fear of Christmas.
Oh my God.
They ruined
awful.
Christmas for him.
And then it started snowing.
Christmas is my favorite
and
holiday.
And Easter, because he's scared of the rabbit.
The only one he's not scared of is Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Which is meant to be scary.
At 11 months and 20 days old, they did the same rat experiments over again. And then they made the noise with a dog and with the rabbit. I don't know why, they just did.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Because they wanted to cement the conditioned response. Right, okay. They wanted to make sure that the baby was scared of the dog and the rabbit.
Of all
they
things.
They wanted to make just sure everything. It was scared.
They wanted him to be scared of everything. Dogs, like... Why?
They had
why?
To be
Thank
sure,
you, Josh. You're doing my role that I normally do.
They had to be sure that the baby is throwing himself off a table.
Like, I don't think he's quite scared enough.
He was caught with difficulty. I'm still not sure.
All of these tests have been done in a well-lighted dark room.
Lit.
Nope, well-lighted.
Lighted.
Well-lighted.
I have quoted directly, a well-lighted dark
it
room.
It was on
a
fire.
A well-lighted dark room.
I assumed it was a photography dark room, but it was two separate words.
So a spotlight. No. So it's a dark room that's...
No. It's a dark room where you would develop photography film, but it's well-lit.
Are you sure?
So it's a dark room that is light.
Yeah, I guess. Honestly, look, the film is grainy at best, and his descriptions are awful. I don't know.
And so is his science.
Yeah.
A well-lighted... Well, science is pretty good. It's just he's proving it a lot.
Yes.
We have to be sure.
You gotta be sure, man.
If I stab someone, do they die?
Oh, no, they died. I'm not sure, though.
Oh,
now
they need to try someone
with
else.
A kitchen knife. They now I will stab them with a screwdriver. Now I will stab them with a butter knife.
Weird, they die every time.
Every time.
I'm not sure, though.
On the same day that they did all those rat experiments and terrified him with the dog and the rabbit, they moved him to a different room, which was a very big, well-lit...
How many rooms do they have?
I mean, it's in a hospital, so they've got quite a few. You know, a number. It was a well-lighted lecture room belonging to the laboratory.
And then he was shown the rat, I assume.
I
Yes. So,
he was left there.
And was he scared of the rat?
So, yeah, so they did more rat, rabbit, and dog tests, and it was slightly less of a negative effect.
Okay, so he was associating the fear with the room.
Like he still had a negative response.
But I would really argue that wasn't enough of a change. Like, because if they're still in the same hospital, one, it doesn't matter which room you're in, they always look kind of similar.
No.
And he's on a table, on a mattress, in the middle of the room. Like, it would still feel...
It's a baby. No. You can take... Babies fall asleep and wake up, like, on different planets, essentially. Like, babies you can move it to a different room and it doesn't know it's in the same place.
Right, okay. Well, babies, I don't know.
I mean, they're dumb.
So what you're saying is that when he was in the new room, the response was slightly less.
Slightly,
so the fear response was slightly trained to the room he was in as well.
Yeah, you could say that. It could just be that it was a lighter place. He was less... like babies are scared
right,
of the dark.
Okay, he can see more stuff.
There are a lot of variables. But yeah, it was slightly less. Like he was crying a little bit less. but he was still like trying to get away and didn't.
It feels like if they were going to continue to expose this kid to different things, they could have proven a lot more than what they did, but they've just repeatedly proven the same thing.
The same thing.
Yeah, they really. And also with one kid,
which is frustrating.
Again, I want to point this out for anyone listening.
Yeah, they have one kid.
This is bad because
it's a test pool of one.
Yeah, when you do science,
don't do it to more kids though. Don't do it. No.
Yeah, true. I'm not arguing that one.
This is bad science, but you know, good for I guess child endangerment. In terms of they did it to one. If you're doing science, do something lots of times.
Unless it's awful. And then get an average. Don't do it at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, do it at least once.
Unless it's child abuse.
If it's awful, do it to animals, am I right? No.
As I said, they were giving him lots of rat, dog, and rabbit tests. And on the 11th one, the dog barked 6 inches from his face and he started crying.
Oh, baby.
Which means the dog hadn't barked the entirety of the time beforehand, which is really good for the dog.
That's a well-behaved dog.
Yeah, good dog. Now, I'm going to quote again. I've got lots of quotes. He's very good. Albert immediately fell over and broke into a wail that continued until the dog was removed. The sudden barking of the hitherto quiet dog produced a marked fear response in the adult observers.
They scared themselves.
Even the adults were scared.
They scared themselves.
It's a little joke.
Have they just written down in a scientific paper that some adults are scared of dogs? That's the finding.
Can I ask a question? When did World War One finish?
World
War 1918, I think.
Yeah.
So World War One had already finished.
Yeah, this is two years after World War One.
Let's carry on.
So yeah, I think they were just making a little joke in a scientific paper about, you know, abusing a child.
Yeah. Casual joke.
Also, we were scared, so it doesn't matter. It's fine.
We want to keep it light, you guys. You know, throw a few jokes in here and there. They decided to see how long the response would last, and they'd already shown it could last 1 week. So they wanted to leave him alone a little bit longer. So they decided to leave him for a month. Mostly because he was leaving in a month. So they had to...
was he busy?
He's a baby that was in a hospital. The baby was going to be discharged from the hospital in a month.
Oh, of course.
Wait. So it's a sick baby.
I don't know what was wrong with the baby. It doesn't say.
They're abusing a sick baby.
It's something you think they would mention, but they don't. The baby's just in a hospital for some... I think he's in the hospital nursery. Apparently the mum was a wet nurse at the hospital. So maybe he wasn't like... You know, actually, in hospital childcare. As a sick kid.
Does this represent the complete ignorance of people to how much they were abusing this child?
I mean,
what I'm asking is, does it represent an idea of how little we knew about that sort of thing? Or do you think they knew this is really bad what we're doing? Or do you think they were just completely ignorant?
I think they just... I don't think they were ignorant. I think they were just apathetic. I don't think they cared.
I understand the scientists not caring, but there must have been other people involved, like the mother, the father, things like
supposedly
that.
Supposedly, the mother, as I said, worked at the hospital, so felt pressured to allow this to happen. That's something that I've read, that the mother was pressured into it because it was her superiors that were needing a baby.
I also think that one thing I've sort of learned in the last year or so is that the way that I would think about something, or that you might think about something, or that generally the people who I would associate with think about something, generally we associate people who think in the same way to us. But there are very different ways of thinking about the world that are nothing to do with the ways that we think in like highly empathetic terms.
Oh yeah, which is why when you look at Facebook, you think, you know, a certain political party is going to win.
Yeah.
And then when the vote comes in, you're really surprised because you're like, but everybody I know was voting this way. And it's like, yeah, but that's
your bubble.
That's your bubble.
And so I think that there are just people.
The word I was looking for. Thank you.
There are people at the side, like people in any walk of life who will just be low on empathy. And some of those people will be scientists and some of them will have access to children and will do messed up experiments.
Yeah.
And then we'll introduce ethics laws and things like that to stop it happening again.
Is it a bad stereotype that higher functioning brains have a tendency to be lower on empathy?
I didn't say that. I said there are...
No. I'm asking. I'm not saying you said that. I'm asking the question.
I think that's a stereotype. I don't know. I don't know if it's statistically accurate.
I don't know, because you have like different types of intelligence, like emotional intelligence. But maybe if you are logically intelligent, you may be lower in emotional intelligence. That's possible.
But measuring intelligence is a very difficult thing
to do.
I mean, IQ test. Actually, something I've not said before in the podcast. IQ tests, absolute bullshit. The person that came up with them denounced them. They don't mean anything. If you've got a high IQ, good for you, but it's nothing. It's just a number. It may as well be a star sign.
What about Mensa?
Mensa, the only people that are in Mensa are people who, like, people don't think are smart. So they're in Mensa to prove, like, hey, guys, I'm in Mensa. Like, Frankie Muniz, right? You know, Malcolm in the Middle. He's probably in Mensa because you're like, oh, that's nice. He's in Mensa. But someone that's really smart, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, why would he be in Mensa? He already knows he's a genius.
True.
Mensa's pointless. You pay them a lot of money.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is a specific type of genius and is incredibly unintelligent in other ways.
Oh, oh yeah.
I so,
detest him on
there's
Twitter.
There's the answer to your question again. There, I guess.
My question.
Yeah.
He's the most infuriating person.
I do think most people that I meet, I'm not talking about people that are clever, like people that you know and in your friendship groups that you know, yeah, they're quite clever or they read a lot more or, you know, because you can appear clever just because you're more read, you know, and all you're actually doing is you have a good memory and you read more and you just enjoy reading more. I'm talking about like the people I've met that are, a lot of the people that I have met that are genuinely super intelligent have lower levels of empathy and less emotional tendencies. But that could just be a stereotype that I'm playing off and, you know, reinforced by the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, it could be that, and it could also be the fact that they're taught to have less empathy, or they're allowed to have less empathy because they become more reserved by, you know.
I'm trying to find some way of backing these guys up, but it ain't working. It's just trying to prove.
They're bad blokes.
They sound terrible.
Remember how bad you think it is now? Because it gets worse.
How?
It gets a lot worse. So they left Albert alone for a month. They still brought him into the lab to do some kind of tests. Not the tests they were doing before, just, you know, testing whether he was a healthy child. He was.
Hang on. The same people who were doing this experiment to make him a tortured child were the people checking his health?
No. Well, not necessarily. The report just says they brought him into the hospital to test him. They didn't say who tested him.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to be honest. This is really shoddily written. I did not enjoy reading it whatsoever. It's an awful paper.
Wow.
It's really bad. After a month, when he was 1 year and 21 days old, very old compared to the 11 months he was when they started, a Santa Claus mask, a fur coat, and a dog made him cry. The rat didn't make him cry, but he didn't like the rat. And they put the rabbit on him, as in they put the rabbit next to him and nothing really happened. So they picked up the rabbit and literally put the rabbit on top of him. And then he cried.
So with no bangs, though. They just wanted to see if that if that response was still
there.
So
he was scared of all the other stuff and not the rat?
Well, he didn't like it. It didn't make him cry.
That's super weird.
So they hadn't conditioned him enough?
Yeah, he was still scared of the rat, just not as much as you'd expect, or not as much as before, because it had been a month.
Okay. So I suppose the rabbit and the dog are bigger versions of the thing he's scared of.
Yeah, and also the dog barked.
And he's probably seen them more. It's probably been reinforced in real life. Like, you could potentially, maybe not the rabbit as much, but definitely the dog. He probably saw dogs and had a response and remembers just having that response.
Maybe,
as opposed to, it's very unlikely he
saw
a rat. They're
not variables, are they?
No. Yeah. So that's the end of the experiment, effectively, because he was a year and 21 days old, so they had to get rid of him. He'd left the hospital after that point. They literally could not do any more tests.
So they fed him to the rat.
So I've got the conclusions of the experiment here. So effectively, they showed conclusively...
So this is what they think they proved.
Yeah. They showed that directly conditioned emotional responses, as well as those conditioned by transfer, persist over time. Mm. So both the rat persisted, and the other ones, the dog, the Santa Claus mask, the rabbit, all persisted after a month.
I take issue with the idea that they transferred the fear. I think he was just scared of the other stuff by association of it being fluffy. Because like, they didn't do what I thought they were going to do, which was, say, for example, I made you scared of rats and I wanted to make you scared of dogs. I would give you the rat, then show you the dog, so you'd associate rat and dog as the same
thing.
And
eventually take the rat away.
And then take the rat away so that you reference dog as... Whereas they were just like, we gave him a bunch of other stuff that's kind of like a rat, and he's scared of that.
That's not transferring it from the rat, is it? It's transferring it from the noise. You're doing the same thing with multiple items.
I think that's what they mean. I think it's just a difference of terminology.
Right.
Okay. Although I agree, that would be a better way to actually transfer the fear to something else.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's just per word choice more than anything. They proved that the reaction was lowered in intensity after a month, and also that they would all persist and modify personality throughout his life. Because they hadn't gotten rid of them, they would stick around and actually change his personality throughout his life. That's what they thought would happen.
And did it? Did they check in on Albert?
I mean, no one knows who Albert was.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't his real name, was it?
Yeah, no one actually knows who. There's no real consensus on who little Albert is.
Mm. So, was Albert his actual name or just a name they gave him?
Unclear.
Ah,
yeah.
Interesting.
So,
let's run around with a rat and see who freaks out.
Just this a lot 100 of years ago.
Yeah?
And just find all the 100-year-old men and present them all with rats and see which ones jump.
101.
You would kill a lot of 100-year-old men. So they also said that Albert was pretty chill for a baby.
It's pretty chill.
Was. Notice the was.
Baby was lit fan.
It should be recalled again that Albert was of an extremely phlegmatic type. Had he been emotionally unstable, probably both the directly conditioned response and those transferred could have persisted throughout the month unchanged in form. So essentially what they're saying is, he's a pretty chill baby. If he wasn't, he'd have been more scared of all of the things.
But what are they basing this on? Because this sounds like the base test to me. Like, this is where they then go on and then...
Yeah, this sounds like the setup to a bigger experiment.
And I also don't agree that they proved that it was transferred, because it came back and it was kind of gone after the month. It doesn't sound like it was had anywhere near as much of an effect.
This is a story about child abuse, and this is the hill you're choosing to die on.
If you're going to abuse a child, at least find something
Josh,
from it.
If you ever start a sentence, if you're going to abuse a child, then you've already gone wrong.
If I ever start that sentence and you don't realise the humour in it, then I've done something wrong already.
If you start that sentence, you've done something wrong.
I disagree.
I'm going to tell you guys about detachment.
Okay.
Yeah? So detachment is the removal of conditioned emotional responses. So that's what you'd want to do to Albert, because he was terrified of rats and furry things and Santa Claus and rabbits and dogs and all that stuff. Mm. Unfortunately, Albert was obviously taken from the hospital on the last day of testing. And they didn't get a chance to come up with an experimental idea of how to, you know, get rid of those emotional responses. But they did have some ideas.
This is what they thought would get rid of the phobias they put there.
So they had some ideas of how to do it, but because they didn't actually implement them, they genuinely thought that these fears would persist throughout his life unless someone accidentally got rid of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor Albert.
So they had four ideas for how to get rid of fear in the baby.
Okay.
The first one was essentially exposure therapy. So it's constantly confronting the child with the stimulus which causes the fear.
I'm scared of it, yeah.
So in this case, it would just be holding a rat next to him.
And constantly banging something.
No, no, no.
No banging. No this banging.
Because the banging is an innate fear response. You can't get rid of that, really. Because there's nothing to de-associate it with.
So if you were scared time I showed you a rat, you were scared there was going to be a bang. I would show you a rat loads of times and never bang. So you started associating rat with not bang. As being fine, everything's
all
right.
I love how you bang
that's what they use to treat OCD, which is exposure and response therapy.
Exactly.
But constant exposure to something doesn't work, because that's a thing as well. If you're constantly exposed to something,
but those are fears. That's because all of those fears are conditioned responses. All of your phobias aren't innate fears; they're fears that have been associated with something else.
So if you took that baby and then just constantly banged.
Then you'd traumatize him.
No, but eventually he'd stop being scared of it.
No, he'd be traumatized.
I don't know.
Because it's a fear, the fear of like a loud bang is to do with you're damaging your hearing. And so like, or that something's exploded, or that like, it's a fear that's in your genetic code as opposed to a learned thing. Because over thousands of years, we will have learned whenever there's a big sound, you definitely want to get away from it. So that's in your code rather than a thing you've learned.
You could kind of get away from it, but still you're going to have an innate fear. Like, as in,
you could definitely suppress the fear, but it would still be there, but you'd be suppressing an innate fear rather than getting rid of a learned fear.
So it's the difference between like people that aren't really scared of heights because they still get that little tingle, but they're like, no, I'm good with this. And people who lose a fear of, say, spiders.
So what about kids that are scared of the dark? I'd say that's a built-in fear. Like not being able to see and when
everyone's scared of the dark a little bit.
Yeah, but like, why do you stop being scared of the dark?
No, you don't stop being scared of the dark. Everyone still has a slight fear response to the dark. They're just not, you know, scared of it in the same way as kids are.
It would be like they are repressing the fear as opposed to learning that the stimulus is okay.
Yeah.
But I was terrified of the dark as a child, and I just got older, and I'll sit in the dark now. I prefer, you guys get annoyed. I don't like lights being on.
You have contextual awareness. So like you are in the dark in a place where you know contextually you have walls around you, you have a door, you have like a phone, you can call the police, like things like that. Whereas if you were in the dark...
Right, so this is only relevant to a baby someone that doesn't have context.
Doesn't have context, yeah.
The fear of the dark is not actually a fear of the dark. It's a fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
So you're still scared of the unknown. And actually, that's a good example. You've removed the association.
Well, maybe babies aren't scared of the dark.
So when you're not scared of the dark, you're not being scared because you have lots of variables that are known. So if the dark is unknown, but you know I'm in my house, I have the police, I have lots of things to mm-hmm. protect me, mm. then you're not in the unknown.
It's the difference between like sitting in a dark room and walking down a dark street that you don't know by yourself.
Yeah, kind of.
So the second one is food association. They did that by basically reconditioning him by feeding him sweets and stuff.
Everybody loves food.
I say they did that. They wanted to do it. They didn't actually get to do it.
That makes complete sense. I reckon that would have worked.
Yes, yeah, so that's positive association.
Yeah,
so you associate the rat with something tasty.
That is what Sheldon did to Penny.
Yeah.
Every time she was good, she got a chocolate or whatever it was.
The third one is imitation and forced action, which is effectively, you know, going up near the rat and petting it, showing him this is what you do when you see a rat. It's fine.
That's a natural thing that parents do anyway, isn't it? Is that they try and show, oh, look, this isn't...
So that's like teaching, like replacing the fear with a new response, like teaching it a good response for rats.
Or like when the kid falls over, parents that go over and freak out, and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? The kid ends up being more of a crier and freaks out more. Whereas parents that go over and go, hey, that was sweet. Oh, what happened? Oh no. And make light of it.
Yeah.
You end up with these babies. And I've seen it happen. Like when babies collapse and I'm like, and they're like, yo, and they get up and they're fine.
If you know,
it's just like, yo,
most kids don't cry when they fall down. They cry when they get up.
So their parents
run over to them and like,
and freak out.
And as sometimes soon as that happens,
where they look around for people watching.
So it's like the opposite or that parents, some parents do naturally because they've read some books.
If no one's around, kids generally won't cry about falling over because they're fine.
And what is the fourth one that's really messed up?
Oh my God. It's actual positive association. By trying to recondition, by showing objects that called out the fear responses, and simultaneously stimulating the erogenous zones.
They
would first try the lips, then the nipples, and as a final resort, the sex organs.
So they would jerk him off whilst he's staring at a rat.
Yeah, so after abusing a child, they would then molest the child. To make him not scared of the abuse.
That wouldn't work in a child. Those sexual things haven't come into play yet. It wouldn't be positive reinforcement.
I'd argue that's not positive.
Let's just all say that we don't know the answer to that question.
and finish the show, maybe.
All care at all.
Wow, I'm sorry, that is dark. That means that man was sat there thinking, yes, if we did this, and fix it.
How can I fix this broken baby? That's not the answer.
I told you there was a kicker at the end.
Yeah.
And that is the show, you guys. Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupworth everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
Don't follow me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.